the Public Youth Service Daily Newscast, March the 17th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Georgia's fiscal year 2024 budget could bring a $2,000 salary boost for teachers.
Educators say low wages, scarce mental health resources for students, and a challenging work environment contribute to high turnover and retention issues in the state. Claire Suggs from the Professional Association of Georgia Educators underlines the challenges.
We have shortages in special education, in math, and in science, but a lot of our rural school districts have struggled for a long time across field. It is just harder for these smaller communities to attract and keep educators.
In 2021, Georgia's new educators earned roughly $27,000 annually, with seasoned educators reaching $54,000 after 35 years, according to the Southern Regional Education Board. The budget seeks to address the challenges educators face in repaying student loans and the need for competitive wages, building on a recent $5,000 pay hike. Shantia Hudson reporting.
That decision now rests with lawmakers in the state Senate, where the budget could undergo more changes. And a package of bills in Helena is aimed at improving elk management in Montana. More on that from Eric Tegetoff.
The six bills are bipartisan efforts from lawmakers, hunters, and outfitters, and all have survived the legislature's transmittal deadline outside their house of origin. One is House Bill 635, which would set aside up to 15% of non-resident big game licenses for non-resident landowners so they can hunt on their own property. Jim Vashro is a board member of Montana Wildlife Federation and head of Flathead Wildlife.
Montana has seen a real increase in hunting pressure by non-residents on publicly available land, and this would move some segment of that hunting pressure onto private land and ease up the competition on public land.
HB 635 had its first hearing in the Senate on Thursday. The bill could remove more than 2,500 non-resident hunters from competing with Montanans on public lands. Some hunters and outfitters oppose it, saying it could reduce the number of big game licenses available.
The Montana Citizens Elk Management Coalition and Montana Outfitters and Guides Association developed the bills in early January. Now for Reuters, large U.S. banks injected $30 billion in deposits into First Republic Bank on Thursdays, swooping in to rescue the lender caught up in a widening crisis triggered by the collapse of two other mid-sized U.S. lenders over the past week. Reuters notes that banking stocks globally have been battered since Silicon Valley Bank collapsed last week. That due to bomb-related losses that piled up when interest rates surged last year. This is Public News Service. And groups that advocate for clean water in Arizona are applauding an EPA plan to limit toxic substances known as PFAS in drinking water.
The agency says its proposal will prevent thousands of deaths as well as serious health impacts. Senior Clean Water Director with Environment Arizona, John Rumpler, calls the proposal a crucial step to begin the process of cleaning up the nation's drinking water and preventing further contamination. He adds PFAS are used in various industry and consumer products and says the country shouldn't be trading convenience for cancer.
There are safer alternatives, and that's really where the solution needs to go, not just setting these limits on these chemicals in our drinking water, but getting to the root cause of the problem, which is the ubiquitous use of these toxic chemicals in the first place.
The proposal would require public water systems to monitor the levels of six kinds of PFAS. Rumpler says the aim is to protect drinking water from all of them. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
The transportation and warehousing industry continues to lead as Indiana's fastest growing business sector.
The Indiana Business Research Center at Indiana University says despite hiring bonuses and help wanted signs posted at trucking companies, too many jobs remain unfilled. Center Director Carol Rogers says at the onset of the pandemic, the demand for goods could not keep up with the low supply of workers.
We suddenly started getting more and more stuff delivered. So instead of going to a store, we were getting it delivered. That needed more trucks, more truck drivers, more people in the warehouses to do the stocking.
Roger says Indiana's Department of Workforce Development has received federal money to create Work One, an online center arranged by county where people can get information on choosing or changing a career, job training, and apprenticeships. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Finally, our Edwin J. Vieira lets us know when the pandemic ends, the spring Medicaid's continuous coverage requirements will end with it.
In Connecticut, the state will start checking people's eligibility at the end of this month to see who can remain enrolled in Medicaid by May 2024. Many are expected to lose coverage, and there are greater risks for some than others. A report from Arnold Ventures and the Commonwealth Fund says the Medicaid coverage rate for Hispanics is 35.7%, compared to non-Hispanics at 19.4%. Yanitzi Velez with the Hispanic Federation says there must be an aggressive effort to alert people about the Medicaid coverage changes.
It is important to continue to partner and educate, whether it is through healthcare.gov, whether it is through social media, whether it is through town hall or just partnering. All the information needs to be out there as soon as possible.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Remember, endlessly supported. Here's some great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.